Well, good morning. You know, Brother Bert, Brother Perkins is trying to wake us up. I don't think they succeeded. But anyway, good to see everyone. I got to thinking about it. I was kind of moving the platform here a little bit forward, and somebody said one time, "How come you do that?" I said, "I just was uncomfortable where it was. It's more comfortable after I move it." Now, you think I'm joking about that, but it's a feeling. What made me think of it was just talking about trying to get us to wake up. The president of our Bible college I went to, of course, at that time he was much older than me, but a very wise, good man. He taught us something that probably never read in a book, but he said the feeling that you have as a speaker, you want to be heard. If you're talking and people don't hear you, then that's not good. Everybody can't, because everybody hears different or don't hear as well, but anyway, it does help sometime, and the speaker has a feeling whether he's being heard or not. That feeling has to do with the word he gave me, and I've never looked it up, so you might correct me on this. He called it ascetic distance. He said something is built into us to where when you, that has to do with that feeling whether you're being heard. In other words, if I'm talking to an usher in the back, naturally I'm going to feel like raising my voice. If I'm talking to somebody on the front row, maybe I'll lower it. That's the feeling. You don't have to say, now, number one, I do this. Number two, I do this. No, it just comes as a feeling. Ascetic distance. Let me give you a little bit of thought about that. Then I'll tell you why I thought of him. Something you said, I think it was, Brother Bert, about being asleep. I'll go ahead and say that, or I'll be asleep. I forget it. Our professor taught us, and we'd come in. We had to be in class at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. I lived in Winter Haven, had to get to the Lakeland, backside of Lakeland, be there at 7 a.m. for class. So sometime we came in asleep or looking asleep. Here's what the old professor would do. He'd say, "All right, stand up." We'd all stand up, and he'd start putting us through jumping jacks, exercises, and we'd wake up. And if you couldn't wake up, he caught you sleeping again, he said, "All right, you go stand with your back against the wall." He said, "If you fall, it'll wake you up." And so I'm not going to do that to you this morning. But the truth is, sometimes we have different feelings about things, but ascetic distance is important. If you're talking to somebody, and I think on this just a moment, if you're talking to somebody face to face, and they, next thing you know, you've been backing up, you're backing up. You didn't think about backing up, you just started backing up. Why'd you start backing up? Because they were a little bit too close. It wasn't they had bad breath, maybe. It was just you didn't feel right, a little close. And I'll tell you this, now I are one, I can tell you this, sometimes the reason folks get a little closer to you is because they're hard of hearing themselves and they're trying to hear you. So we got all these problems that we compensate for one way or the other as they come on us. That didn't have nothing to do, I guess, with the Bible. Open your Bible to John chapter 20. We're going to finish up here this morning, maybe. I said maybe. We're going to try to do that anyhow. I don't know about you, but sometime I'll put a paper clip in my Bible, then realize I put it in the wrong place. I think I just done that. I put it on the wrong page. You know what? I wrote myself a note. That's why I'm looking at it. It says, why don't you just finish these scriptures by reading them all? I don't always take my advice. It probably would be wise. We're going to start in the last chapter in the last few verses. We're going to start at about verse 18. And of course, this is after the resurrection. Christ has appeared to them now the third time. This time he's caught them fishing. Peter led the whole crowd away. He said, "I go a fishing." He was saying, "I quit, I give up, I'm going back to the old life." And And then the Lord shows up and asks him the question. When he brings them to shore and they recognize it's him, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" We talked about that last week. Don't want to park on that again, but Peter was being put on the spot. He denied the Lord three times. And so Jesus is still talking to Peter now after he's asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter's told him, "You know all things. You know I love you." He was a little bit off base, I guess, there. Lord, you know I love you, and you know everything. So now Jesus is talking to him, beginning in verse 18 of John 21. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself," or dressest thyself, "and walkest whether thou wouldest," wherever you want to, you're free. "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not." Now we could make a lot of applications out of that. He said, now Peter, right now you can get up, you can dress yourself, you can bend over, you can tie your shoes, you can gird yourself, all that you do, and you're young, you can do this, that, and the other. But he said, when you get old, somebody else will have to help you get dressed. Most of us are getting closer to that. If I don't always ask my wife to help me, but I sometimes walk by her to see what she's going to spot wrong. Anyway, and she's pretty good at spotting wrong, but the difference is she don't care as much as she used to. Any of you guys relate to that? I remember when I was younger going to church, she'd say, "That don't match. That tie don't match." She don't care now. That's you get old, things change and make a difference, don't they? And so here he's talking to Peter about when you get old. Now, you may have to help somebody dress you, but you may have to have somebody lead you. But now also, he says, you shall stretch forth your hands. And I can't help but see, following the next context of the verses here, I think he's talking about Peter being arrested. I think his hands are going to be cuffed, so to speak, tied. And somebody's going to lead him somewhere he don't want to go. He's going to be martyred. He's going to be crucified. Now, the Book of Martyrs tell us, the good history, I believe, Fox's Book of Martyr, would tell us that Peter was crucified, but that he requested of them, "Crucify me upside down. I don't want to be like my Lord. I don't deserve the honor to be crucified like him." Now, that may not be true, but that's what is written. And he would have gone somewhere he didn't want to go. He didn't want to be martyred. He would love to hold on to life. That's human nature. But so Jesus is talking about what's going to happen to him in the future. And verse 19 tells us that's what he's talking about. It says in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." Now, I like this last little part here. By Peter's death, he's glorifying God. He could have denied the Lord Jesus. Almost all the martyrs were given a choice to deny the Lord, and they would not. I think about old Polycarp. He's got the testimonies recorded pretty good. He was 86 years old, Brother Lee. Anyway, he was one that followed John, that wrote the book of John here, the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, we call him. Polycarp was kind of his staff member, kind of his understudy, is kind of his right hand. Polycarp's got some writings, tremendous things. Some of it has to do, I believe, with the predictions of the return of the Lord. But Polycarp was taken by the Roman captive, kept him in a chariot, taking him to the be martyred. And he's an old man, and so the younger Roman had some compassion. He said, "Look, all you have to do is just say that Caesar is licit, that Caesar is Lord. That's where you get your tag on your car. It's called a license, licit, Latin. And all it's trying to say is whoever's the greater power, greater authority, a greater authority than me makes me put a tag on my car, makes it licit." And so the Roman captain was saying to to Polycarp, taking him to be martyred, to die at the stake, "All you got to do is just say that Caesar is licit. Caesar's above Jesus. Caesar's tops. He's the top one. He's the top authority. And Polycarp's famous statement is something like this. I hadn't quoted it in years. Let me see if I can remember most of it. He said to the Roman captain, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he's never denied me. I'll not deny him now. And he went ahead and was martyred. That's a statement given for Polycarp. Anyhow, the death here of Peter would glorify the Lord, glorify God, because he didn't deny him. He denied him three times around the fire, and the Lord had reminded him of that, but now the Lord is talking about when you die, he's talking about ahead of him now, predicted this, talking about what death he would glorify God in his death. Then he said to him, when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, in the meantime, Peter, you got something to do. What is it? Follow me, obey me, serve me. Folks, that's where we're at. Most of us, sadly, could go to a calendar right now and very easily go to the calendar and pick a time when we know we won't be here. If the world stands that long, we won't know we won't be here. That's not a fun thing to do, but that's why you make out wills. That's why you do things and get your house in order and all that business, because man is the only creature, only animal, so to speak, that knows he's going to die. The horse don't know it. The cow don't know it. The dog don't know it. The cat don't know it. We know it. So we ought to live with that consciousness all the time and be as prepared. First preparation, of course, is to know where we're going after we die. That gives us peace to live on and follow the Lord until he says it's enough. Amen. So he told Peter, follow me. Now, Peter knew what the Lord was talking about. Some of the disciples here that are hearing all this, they get some things a little bit wrong. We'll see a little bit later here in the end of verses. But if you want to, just flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and you'll see Peter understood what the Lord was talking about. He refers to it. Go to chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Pick it up at about verse 13. Peter says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. This tabernacle is referring to his body. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He's talking to me and you as well as those around him at that time in the letter he was writing. Then he says in verse 14, knowing that shortly, now Peter knew his time was shorter than, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, my body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So what's he referring to? He's referring to this time when Jesus was on the shore of the lake, when they come in with the fishes and ask him, lovest thou me? And then told him, there'll be a time coming that you are going to die. You're going to be led somewhere you didn't want to go. And so Peter got the message. He didn't make any mistake about it. He knew what was being talked back here in John 21, that Jesus was telling him how he was going to wind up. In the meantime, follow him. And according to the Bible, he did. He did from this point on. Verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple. Peter is still like us. He's still very human. All the faults we have. Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now that's John that wrote the book here. John referring to himself. That loved Jesus following. John was the faithfulest of all the bunch to always stay the closest to the Lord Jesus. He refers to that. John refers to himself here in verse 20, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now remember, Jesus told them, one of you is going to betray me. And all of them said, Lord, is it I? Except one. John didn't say, Lord, is it I? He said, Lord, who is it? He knew it wasn't him. The others were maybe being just kind of polite, saying, is it I? But John said, no, it's not me. Who is it? And of course, it was Judas. But he said, seeing John, now John referring to himself, I've seen this, the liberal crowd today that don't believe the Bible and hates God. the picture, the most famous picture of the Lord's Last Supper when all the disciples are around on him. By the way, it's not quite accurately pictured. The Passover and the Lord's Supper was all, they were all there to take the Passover first. And the disciples, the proper way they had to take the Passover, and it was pretty much a tradition, they reclined. They did not sit up straight in a chair at a table like we do to eat. They were reclining. That's why you have John leaning on the breast of Jesus. The other disciples are sitting up pretty straight. But some of the liberals and those that attack the Bible try to say the disciple that was leaning on Jesus, who we know is John, John identifies himself as being the one. The liberals try to say that John was not a man, that was Mary Magdalene leaning on the breast of Jesus. Now, don't believe that garbage. It's all over TV as it gets around Easter time, sometime around Christmas, but Easter time, they are always trying to say the Bible's not accurate, the Bible's not right, and they come up with some of this stuff. No, it was not Mary Magdalene, it was John, and John identified himself, youngest disciple at the table, leaning on the breast of Jesus, the disciple that Jesus loved. All that identifies him here. He says, leaned on his breast at supper, verse 20, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He was saying, I know it's not me. Now Peter seeing him, Peter's turned now and John's there. Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now, Peter, right to the very end, puts his foot in his mouth again. Now, what is Peter saying? Peter's meddling with somebody else's business. I've had to tell a few folks that's none of your business. Have you ever had to say that? Say, that's pretty crude. Sometimes somebody needs telling that. Anyhow, that's basically what Jesus is telling Peter. What happens to John is none of your business. Let's look at it a little closer here. Turning about, seeing the disciple, seeing John, Peter seeing him, verse 21, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You just told me what to do. You told me how I'm going to die. You told me to follow you, but now what about him? Aren't we all sort of like that? Aren't we a little bit afraid somebody's getting it better than us, getting a little more than us? Oh, I shouldn't tell this. You won't know who I'm talking about. I'm going to tell it. Through the years, last number of years at Landmark, of course, we've had a lot of different good staff. We've always been blessed to have good staff. And the man that made this mistake I'm going to tell you about was a good man. But human nature is human nature. And I had made a special agreement with a man that had a special talent to help us, had to do with the radio station. And he couldn't come and work for us full time, but he could give me 3 days a week, I believe it was. And he'd done a great job. But I had another staff member, again a good man, but human nature being what it is. What's the song the kids sang about? Some kind of mouth, what is it? Poochie mouth? What is it? Yeah, poochie lip disease. Yeah, you know, a boss man and a pastor to some degree is that. You can spot somebody when there's a little something wrong. He's not smiling quite as much as he used to, that sort of thing. I'd already thought, I wonder what's wrong with him, so he wanted an appointment with me. And he come in to talk to me. I said, okay, what is it? He said, well, you know so-and-so. I said, yeah. He said, he takes off more time than I do. See, he none of his business. He didn't know what kind of agreement I had made with the man and nothing like that. But human nature's watching. Somebody else is getting it easier than me. Somebody else not having to work on Saturdays or whatever, you know. Just they're not here as much as I am. So I let him give me all that spiel. And I said, yeah, I said, I believe I know a way to solve that, though. What? I said, this week I'll call the book. I picked up my phone and offered, I'll buzz the bookkeeping office. I'll tell them I want them to give you his check this week and your check to him. Will that be all right? Oh, man, I smoked that
rabbit right out of that log.
Some of you don't know that's Greek for you, but anyway.
He said, what? I said, oh, yeah, it's all right with you. I mean, he's getting it better than you. I'm going to just let you all trade paychecks this week. I said, where'd that come from? I'm not going to say. It could have been the Lord, but it came from me. And he said, oh, no. I said, oh, yeah, you'll be happier then getting his check. And he kept looking at me. I said, is that what you want? Well, preacher, I don't know. I said, well, that's what I'll do, and you'd be happy you get his check. Go ahead. He said, maybe we better not do that. He smelled a rat, see. He smelled he was being tricked a little bit. So finally I said, no, I'm not going to do that, because you would have lost $150 this week if you'd have swapped checks. You know, he never come to me anymore about that. That cured him. Truth is, we're like that. That's what we got right here in the text. Peter says, now, what about John? I got to do this. What's he going to do? Is he going to get it easier than me? Is he going to get less hours? Is he going to get more money? Let's just apply it to what it is. Human nature is something else. We all depraved. We got to watch out for that business. The last of the big Ten Commandments is what? Thou shalt not covet. And that's part of the fallen nature of men. We got to watch out for that. Anyway, I see it right here. Peter turns, looks at John. All right, Lord, you give me my orders. Now, is he going to get it lighter? Is he going to get better than me, a better deal than you've offered me? We've got to think about that, folks. We all have that within us. Every boss man of every job can tell you some story like I just told you there. So what does Jesus answer him? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, Peter now, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus more polite. I'd have probably said, that is none of your business. That's what Jesus really was saying. What is that to thee, Peter? I told you what to do. I ain't got nothing to do with what I'm going to do with John. If I will that he tarry till I come. Now, boy, you talk about starting a rumor. That started right there. I'm amazed that America even survives at all, because we got nothing but rumor mills going on in the so-called news. It is amazing how one little thing can be said and how they build on it. Isn't it amazing that we can have the news media now is programming the population? If you don't watch out for fake news, you're going to be faked out. You're going to be deceived. You've got to watch out for that. And that's what's going on now. It's amazing to me America survives. Your home couldn't survive if your husband or your wife, y'all were all the time trying to get each other, all the time trying to nitpick everything and have dissension all the time. That's what we got in our country. You say, well, that's democracy. It's not genuine, old-fashioned democracy. It's envy, covetousness, jealousy, and deception, and today lying is not measured or judged by whether it's true or not. It's whether I got away with it or not. Whether or not I can get up a propaganda and get up a rumor going and capitalize on it and win by it. I'll get off of that, but you know what I'm talking about. Now, Jesus here told Peter, basically, it's none of your business. What is that if he tarry till I come, you follow me. Verse 23, then went this saying abroad. Now here comes the rumor mill. Even among the disciples, best people we could name around in this crowd now, then went this saying abroad among the brethren. See, they're called brethren, they're saved. That's why one of the biggest enemies of the church is plain old gossip. Plain old backbiting and all that kind of stuff that the Bible warns about so much among the brethren. I remember one time, my trouble in trying to finish up here is trying to dodge some of these remembered stories. I'll go way back to 1965 when the Mustangs come out, how popular they were. 65 Mustang. I bought one of the first ones that came to the Ford place here in Haines City. I was in business at that time and could afford to buy a new car. And so I bought one.
I went out and ordered it. Now, I'd read up on it. I'd fell for it. I mean, I thought that's what I wanted. And I did at the time. But I ordered it special. I ordered the gear ratio like I wanted. I ordered this and that and the other. Special on it. By ordering it special, everybody was buying them. I mean, they were a hot thing when they came out. I had to wait a good while on that thing to come in. I have to order it to get it just like I wanted it. I was going to church, faithful, serving the Lord, teaching and all that. And I had a good brethren in the church like we are around here, good men. And, of course, talking about cars, have to have a little spiritual talk once in a while, even in church. And I was talking, you know, they knew I'd ordered a new Mustang. Some of my friends did, and we talked about it. But it didn't come in this week or next week or that month. It still didn't come in. So every Sunday, you could, new car come in yet? No. I said, it hadn't come yet. On a Wednesday night, the brethren was a group of them standing there talking. And I walked up in a little bit late, and I heard some of them talking. Well, maybe it hadn't come in yet just because he really hadn't ordered it yet. My good brother now, my loving buddies, they were not mean. They were just jumping to a conclusion. Say, what'd you do? I got mad at him, never spoke to him again. You know that's not true. But I've seen folks that would do that for less than that. I just walked up in the middle and I said, oh, y'all, my good friends are over here gossiping about me. They kind of looked. I said, you don't think I ordered that car yet? I said, let me show you. I got some kind of receipt or something. I showed them. I said, but it just does my heart good to know how you trust me. Well, they were a little bit embarrassed, but we all had a big laugh about it. And sure enough, the car did come in. It's a good thing it did after that. But you say, people are that way, aren't we all like that? Let's face it, folks, we've got to watch it. Now, here's a good lesson for us right here. This is Peter and John. This is Jesus having to correct Peter, envious of John. What's John going to do? Is he going to get it better than me? The Bible is so practical. While we're getting all the wonderful big truths, the little truths about how we act and how we act among each other and to each other, that's important. All right, that didn't cost you nothing. That's just that's free this morning. We're supposed to be following the Lord. Sometimes the brethren will say something wrong, but what do you tell Peter on another occasion? Since we want Peter here a little bit. Peter said, how often shall I forgive, Lord? Seven times? What did Jesus tell him? Remember the answer? Seven times 70. What he meant by that was not 490. He meant just keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving. So we got to watch out for being very human, very depraved. We're all depraved. We have to watch the fallen flesh. So now the rumor gets going that, and John reports the rumor here. Then this saying, verse 23, abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Now John was not mixed up. He understood it very clear. But the rumor got to going, hey, Jesus said John would live till he comes back. That's not what he said. John corrects it here, but that's the gossip that went around. We've all played the game at some party or something where go around a circle and start with a little truth here and see what it turns out to be. Time everybody whispers it around the circle. You ever done that? That's kind of fun. Kind of truth, though. There's a real truth there. It grows and grows, and it's distorted, not at all the same. That's what was going on. So the rumor was going around now that John's going to live forever, but John was not deceived by it at all. He corrects it here. Yet Jesus, verse 23, Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? John had it right. He didn't make a mistake on it at all. He was quoting it correct. So if the disciples was going around telling, well, John's going to live till Jesus returns. Now, let me also make this application. In a real sense, he did. He did live that long. So what are you talking about? Who wrote the book of Revelation? John.
What did John do? He saw the return of Jesus. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Exactly what Jesus said here actually happened to John. John's the one that received the message of the book of Revelation, all the future, all the details. He saw the return of Jesus. He saw him come in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse leading the armies of heaven, didn't he? He did see it. But that's not what he meant, and John knew what he meant. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? We've got to watch the Bible when we read it. Sometimes we've got a but, sometimes we've got an if, sometimes we've got a shall. We got words that we skip over and forget what they mean sometimes. So the if here, Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now the last two verses, and we'll finish John this morning. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. Now John got a little bit personal at the end of chapter 20, and he's doing that again now. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You say, well, that's hyperbole. Yeah. But also, there's never been anybody had more books written about them than Jesus. You check out today. The big cathedrals that's built across the planet Earth, the libraries with the long shelves, I think it's what, in France they claim they've got one library had enough shelves to be measured 5 miles long. Check out the books and the words that's written concerning Jesus, against him or for him, but about him. And John is given a thought here, and still today. I was talking to Brother Bob back there this morning, Bob Summers. I said, you notice all the news that's coming, all this ought to tell us that Jesus is coming soon. One of the things I am noticing big, and I like it, is they can't get away from Jesus. His name keeps popping up in the news. One way or the other, it keeps popping up, don't it? God is still getting his witness out. And you got different ones attacking, but even the attack on Jesus still brings him up. People are going to have to one day face him, one day answer to him. He's still going to be the difference of whether they go up or down when they die, whether they go to heaven or hell. Truth of the matter is, John here is saying, I didn't write everything about. In fact, if you go back to the end of chapter 20, he says, there's many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. John said, I couldn't write it all. In fact, John's whole gospel, as we've studied through it here, 21 chapters, if you really put all the events together about what was told about Jesus in these 21 chapters, it probably didn't cover over about 25, 30 days in his actual earthly ministry life. Yet we know he had a ministry of over 3 years, 3.5 years. So John just said, I couldn't tell it all. I feel that way sometimes as a preacher. I know you think, he tried to tell it all this morning, tried to give us all the feed at one time. No, any preacher that's full of the Word of God never gets through. He's always got something else he wanted to say, didn't get it said. Fusses at himself when he drives home, why didn't I remember to say that? Say, how you know? Because I are one. I've been there. So John is telling the truth. All the books in the world couldn't hold what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the thickest books you'll ever see on anybody's shelf are Bible books written about the Bible, written about the Lord Jesus, written about the Christianity. And that's the way it ought to be. Because when it's all settled and done, when the last amen is said, that's all that's going to count. All the big books just made a trip around the moon for whatever we gained. Went around the moon, they'll write about that and big stuff. And man's ingenuity is something. God gives him some intelligence and all that. But that trip around the moon is not near as important to you as what your relationship with the Lord Jesus is. That's the thing we have to keep in mind, what is most important. Time is up, I believe, Brother Smith. Okay, 685. Some folks are already hearing the call of the north, I think. Stay with us. Preaching service will start in a little bit.